Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You can tell that we're in the season of Lent because our gospel lesson today is a little bit on the dark side. Some Pharisees come and warn Jesus that Herod wants to kill him. It's a little odd. Pharisees typically are Jesus' major opponents. True, there's a few that secretly follow Jesus, notably Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea, but mostly they're opponents, and yet they come and warn Jesus of Herod's intent. Actually, what they were probably doing is delivering a message, delivering a death threat from King Herod. Jesus responds rather confrontationally, "Go tell that fox for me. Today, tomorrow, and the third day, I must be about my work. And today, and tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way to Jerusalem, the city that stones and kills the prophets." As if to say, "Yes, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going there to die. I'm heading out of your jurisdiction to Jerusalem. But no, I'm not under your authority. And no, your threats don't concern or make me fearful. I have a ministry to complete in Jerusalem, and God will take it from there." God is in control, not you, you fox. Many times people have said that Jesus was a victim of the Pharisees, a victim of Rome, a victim of the fickle crowds that chose Barabbas over the Messiah. Some might say that Jesus was swept along by circumstances beyond his control, but that's not how Jesus saw it. Certainly, he didn't know every detail in advance, but he trusted that God had a plan and God would see him through, no matter what. We're in the travel document of Luke's gospel. It started at chapter 9, where Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he was very determined to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his mission, to face his fate. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and that's where it must happen. Jerusalem was the center of religious life. Jerusalem was the home of the temple, where the dwelling place of God, they believed. Jerusalem was the place where prophets like him, who spoke truth to power, were stoned and put to death. As he approaches Jerusalem, he laments, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have desired to gather your children together like a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Literally, it's, "and you would not." On the western slope of the Mount of Olives, there's a chapel. It's the chapel of Dominus Flevit in Latin. In other words, it's the place, the chapel, where the Lord wept, where the Lord wept over Jerusalem. And in that chapel, there's a large open window looking out across at Jerusalem, just much as Jesus would have seen it from across the Kidron Valley. And in that chapel, there's a marble or stone altar. And on the face of that altar, there is a mosaic medallion that shows the image of a mother hen brooding over her chicks. The hen, you might notice, has a halo. It is certainly representing Jesus, who wants to protect God's children. And around the circle in Latin are Jesus' words, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets. How often I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." And then in red, right underneath the hen and the chicken, in Latin, "You would not. You would not." It's an incredibly powerful and tender image. Jesus is going to Jerusalem with total commitment and total compassion. He's going there for a purpose. He is going there for God's people, to give them life, to give them hope, to assure them of God's constant care. In this lament, we hear the sound of God's heart breaking, Jesus' heart breaking. With the tender and fierce love of a mother, our God loves her children, wants to care for them, wants to bring them close to his heart. And yet, inexplicably, unnaturally, they count that love, that desire to bring them close, as if it were nothing, and they turn away. The fierce compassion and love of God, they turn away from it as if it didn't mean a thing. How could that be? How could the children of Israel have been so foolish, so rebellious, so as to turn away from the God who had provided for them in every way, who again and again delivered them from their enemies, who created them out of nothing, made them a people out of the dream of two old people who wanted a child, and turned it into a kingdom, a family of God's people. Again and again, God had done so much for them, and they turn away. It's a hard question. It's even harder for you and I. Because how often have we pushed God away? Maybe it's time for us to come clean and confess as well how often we have pushed God out of our lives, or at least out of arm's reach. True, we haven't physically killed or stoned any prophets lately, but we have chosen to ignore a whole lot of what God has said to us. True, we may not have shouted "crucify" along with the crowd, but we have turned away so often from those in need, the very body of Christ among us, in those in need. True, we may not have called out for Barabbas with the crowd, but we so often follow the crowd when we know that the footsteps of Jesus lead us one way and we would really rather not go there and go our own way. The question turns back on us, because there are so many times when we cannot see or refuse to see how much our God cares for us, how much our God loves us, how much God is there wanting to draw us close to God's heart, and yet we haven't heard or we've refused to listen. Jesus' lament rings sharply in my ears because all too often I, and perhaps you, would not. We would not hear that promise of Jesus, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me." Even now, the mother hen would gather us under the shadow of outstretched wings, much like the outstretched arms on a cross, drawing us all together into God's heart, warm and secure. Even now, God bids us to trust and rely on that promise of God's presence through even our most difficult days. It's not the first time that God has called us. When we prosper, when things are going well, we've been reminded the source of our blessings, it's not our own. In times of joy and certainty, we're reminded to be thankful for those blessings. In the times of sin, we're reminded the promise of forgiveness and the ability to start over because of the depth of that love for us. This is the many times that we've been called. We were called at the very beginning of our lives, so to speak, in baptism, where God gave us new birth and pledged that we would always be His own. We would always be under His arms of care. We would always be part of His brood, His family. We say the words, "You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. You are God's. God will not leave you or forsake you." This is true security, more than the empty promises that the world may give. The promise that our mother hen, our Savior, offers that whatever happens, whatever pain or problem, whatever fear we face, whatever sin we have done, we are never defenseless and we're never alone. We stand still under the protection and love of God's determined loving care, under God's wings. That's the promise. That's a promise that we can trust, even in our journey through the wilderness of this life. We can trust. We can trust Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.